Today's message title is The Empty Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. Let's read. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. The world is full of words. Words are the beginning of all things, and it seems that this world is made up of words that express thoughts and ideas and embody the expressed words. The first and beginning of the myriad of such words that fill this world was God's words in Genesis 1, verse 3, "Let there be light." This light is a light beyond the physical material, light of the sun, moon, stars, fire, flames, and fluorescent lights. It is a light that reveals good and evil, that clearly separates the holy from the unclean, that nothing can remain covered before its light, that nothing can remain hidden and unknown, that all things are laid bare. And this light that breaks through all darkness and shines in the midst of darkness is Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation. As it is written in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, "Because Jesus the Lamb is the light that enlightens all, neither the sun nor the moon." The representative of physical and material light will be needed anymore in the new heaven and the new earth. The world as it exists today began, was formed, and is being operated by the Word of God. Let there be light. That is Jesus Christ. Be, however, Satan's word of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Did God really say that? Word unleashed upon the world, defying, blocking, and seducing the word of God. Let there be light, and Jesus Christ be as if they had no value, and man fascinated and attracted by deep force and ungodly words, voluntarily fell in love with them and was embraced, surrounded, tossed about, and even sent out these empty words that seem to have some kind of appeal but have none. And so, man's soul is controlled by the countless empty words that he himself has uttered, and he has become a dying being, one who will fall into eternal perdition, the destination of empty words. Because human beings were originally created in the image of God, who does think that with words. They are the only creatures who can manipulate and use words and initiate and create things with words. However, man has lost the word that is the first of all possible words that are called words, light be, and Jesus Christ be. Therefore, they are attracted to, immersed in, and infused with physical light that has nothing to do with the light that overcomes darkness and deceives the people of the nations, and as a result, they speak and take in only empty words. And one such thing with empty words is manipulated by empty words, starts something empty again with empty words, creates something empty again with empty words, and dies pretending to be alive while surrounded by empty things. Nevertheless, perhaps because emptiness has become the norm, people are unable to even notice emptiness, and when they do notice it, they try to fill it with another empty words. And so we are surrounded and obsessed with empty words that go in circles with no way out, and our thoughts, feelings, ideas, values, worldview, outlook on life, reason, intellect, and sensibility have become filled with empty words. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, the Apostle Paul expressed that the intellect has become corrupt and lost the truth, and rightly so. Our human intellect, which has lost the words, light be and Jesus Christ be, has become corrupt and has made gold and silver its God, money its God, people its God, pride its God, knowledge, learning, technology its God. We have created an empty world full of all kinds of God-like things that man has made into gods. We have created a world where there seems to be something and nothing is there, a world that repeats the same evils that existed in the past with the illusion that something new is being created every day, a world thus Solomon described as all that is under the sun is empty. We say how great science and technology are, how great new theories and logic are, who is great and who is not. And we create and enshrine great people and give them ours to make them have authority and admiration. As if there is something great about them. And then they make us feel as if we can change the world in some way, spewing out new empty words, immersing us, enthusing us, making us unable to live, making us think as if there is some answer out there. We have reduced the biodiversity of this beautiful natural world by 68% in just the last 50 years, beginning with God's word. Let there be light. Despite this, humans still believe that humans are amazing. Human can do it. Human can do it. Humans have potential. Humans are the answer. Humans are great. I am great. Why is this world spinning without realizing how great I am? I am God. They do not feel that they are full of greed, thirst, judgment, and empty words. They do not realize that they are struggling themselves, and they refuse to acknowledge the one God who created heaven, earth, and all things. So no matter how much we have, our desire for possession never diminished. No matter how much we eat, our soul is never satisfied. No matter how much we win, We are never convinced that we have won in life. No matter how much we experience, our hearts are always broken. No matter how much we are praised, our fear never appears. No matter how many empty words we are surrounded by, we even forget that we are tired of being surrounded by them. We forget that we are tired of being surrounded by empty words, and we take it for granted, and we make life about conceiving ourselves that it is so, it is good, it is real. Jesus Christ was born on earth as a light to liberate us from the emptiness of words, rather than to cast stone in a world filled with such empty words. He who is the first of all words, let there be light, appeared in human form. He came to us sinners, the people of this world who have lost their life and their way of life through empty words, to give us back the word, let there be light, so that we can turn again to the only non-empty word, let be light. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be like your ancestors, to whom the other prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. God's words to us human beings are simply, return to me, return to me, return to me. But people do not return to those words. So God himself took on human form and appeared to us in a form that we can see with our own eyes, Jesus Christ, who is the very word, let there be light. When Jesus began his ministry, he was led by the Holy Spirit to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. To devil who had spoken empty words to Jesus in his dying state, tempting him with the food most necessary to sustain his physical life, Jesus proclaimed the most important thing that was lost in the world, the first and foremost essential thing for us human beings, in the fundamental and the substantial sense. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. When interpreting Jesus' words, it is something interpret as Jesus is not denying that we need food, clothing, and shelter to live, but the food, clothing, and the shelter are necessary, and what we need in addition is the word of God. But I wonder if that is really true. For Jesus, who had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and was so dried up that he could have collapsed and died at any moment, all that was necessary to preserve his physical life was a sip of water, a crumb of bread, and a spoonful of hot syrup water. That is what Jesus would have needed most to sustain the life of his flesh and blood. But does Jesus say here? He declares, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, not to live a life attached to the body, which is unfortunately doomed to perish because of sin, but to live eternally in the eternal life of soul, which remains forever. He declares, if we do not live in our souls, no matter how much we dress up our bodies, no matter how much we eat good food and get fat, it makes no difference that we died pretending to live, and instead of ending up as dust of the ground, we will suffer eternally in the burning Gehenna of eternal perdition. And the life preserved by bread is fruitless, and the true and eternal life, which cannot be preserved by bread, is to be preserved by the word of God. And I am doing this now, led by the Holy Spirit, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and in my physically parched and dying state, to expose the wiles of the devil, who hold people captive with empty words. People seem to think that lack of money is the biggest problem, that not being able to eat good food is wretched, that living in a nice house and driving a nice car is absolute requirement for a good life, that studying, working hard, being enthusiastic, becoming familiar with various knowledge, and keeping countless words emanating from a smartphone in one's body is a way to take a break. And people put off living a life in which the soul lives by the word of God because it seems tedious, and they are too busy to devote time to it, and think it is a waste. They go to church to earn money and work, but they are too lazy to go to church for worship. They take seriously empty words that investing more money is the only way to enrich their lives rather than investing time and wealth in the word of God, and their souls are dying. They lose their light and their souls die. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us, to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What we lack now, what our life lacks, what our children lack is not what we wear, not what we eat, not what we drink, not our spectacular career or upbringing, not our good music, good education, good culture, or good medical care, but to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. No matter how much we dress, no matter how much we eat, no matter how much we drink, no matter how much we learn, no matter how much we experience, no matter how much we listen to good music, no matter how good our education, no matter how good our culture, no matter how good our medical care, if we do not continue to seek the first God's kingdom and his righteousness, there is no life. Let's see, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy will be the members of his one household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. We human beings were created so that we cannot live without fear. So what should we fear? We should fear God. The fear of God brings peace and life, but the fear of anything other than God brings only fear and anxiety. The only way to be free from such fear is to listen to this word of Jesus and fear the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. You have to acknowledge Jesus in the presence of anything or any person. Failure to acknowledge Jesus means that death of the soul. When we acknowledge Jesus in all things and in all people, we understand life. not the life that clings to this physical life, but the real life beyond the physical, the eternal life that Jesus' death on the cross has given us. We can fear the loss of that life. You will have the most important and only valuable fear of all. Let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 12. If anyone teaches others and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrel about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is aloof all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Faith in God is not bondage, but liberation, freedom. Rather, to not believe in the one true God, Jesus Christ, is to go astray, to stab oneself with much pain. And our battle is not how to become rich or how to become materialistic, but how to fight the battle of faith and finally win eternal life or not. It is not a matter of I believed in Jesus once before, so I'm fine now. What a tragedy it would be if, like Demas, a former disciple of Paul, who lived with Paul, we love this world so much that we don't know whether we have or have not won eternal life. One more passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 70. But mark this, there will be terrible times. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parent, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a whole form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always running but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Just as James and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds, who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and the Restora, the persecution I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become conceived of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are living in difficult times. Even those who say they believe in Christ seem to love only themselves, love money, blaspheme God, and are not reconciled to others, love pleasures more than God, and denying the power of piety, even though they appear to be pious, and they are not prepared to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus and to live piously in Him. We want to be light and shine in the community in a way that the world will recognize us, but we avoid being light and shining in the community in a way that the world will not recognize us, because we are afraid of persecution, because we are afraid of martyrdom, because Christ is not everything, because we cannot rejoice that we have been made worthy of being humiliated for Christ's sake. And above all, we do not take the Bible, which gives us the wisdom to correct such way of life and train us to live righteously. We do not hold it. We do not open it. We will not read it. We will not listen to it. We will not pray. We will not kneel. We do not beat our chest and cry, because for the time being, we have clothes to wear, lunch to eat, after the service, a home to return to, and sustenance to maintain this perishing body for the time being. Therefore, we cannot see, hear, realize the need for the Word of God. We cannot become familiar with the Bible, for there is enough bread to keep the body that is kept without bread, first of all. The word of the life that Jesus spoke at the risk of his life. Man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God, are heard only as if they strike the sky. Seminary students do not open their Bibles. Seminary teachers do not open their Bibles. Pastors don't open their Bibles either. That's why believers don't open their Bible either. They say they believe in Christ, but they open their computers, tablets, and smartphones, but they do not open their Bibles. So There is no way they can do missionary work and evangelism, and seminary is about to grasp, and the church is about to grasp. This is the inevitable result. The world's population continue to increase, yet number of seminary that teach the Bible is the word of God continues to decrease, and theology, the study of Bible, continues to roll along without opening any Bibles, and the church seems to be dying. Oh, hypocrites, how is it that you know how to discern between earth and the sky, and yet you do not discern between the present time and the future? These words of Jesus ring out every day. We, in the midst of tremendous spiritual darkness, have to fight the battle of faith. We are now living in the very world of the word of the Old Testament prophets. We read newspaper, listen to news, read books, laugh at word of comedians, and are exposed to word of knowledge and scholarship every day. But when we are exposed to these words every day, they seem to be empty words that go around in circle. They are incident, accident, natural disasters, school fees, living expense, profit, this person, that person, and so on. And we are exposed to only empty human words that are not God words, that we do not know whether they were spun and spat out. Our soul will thirst, even by the empty word of man. Heart like a sandstorm may be quieted for a time, but when the storm arises, it soars again, and the sand that obstruct our line of sight, where we cannot see anything ahead, remains intact. But the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the point of separating the soul from the spirit, the joints from the marrow, making us discern the thoughts and measurement of our heart, and sweeping away sand as if with a broom and dustpan, sweeping it clean. Only listening to the word of God can save us from being deceived by empty words. Let's pray. Dear God, we tend to stray, and we think money is God. And we are so weak in spiritual. It's so difficult time. Dear God, you talk to us . Listen to your word. Please give wisdom to see this world with your words, not empty words, and make us change. Please don't give up, and please talk to us, return to us, come back to us. Come back to God, return to God, return to me, you say. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's words, singing hymn number Seika 520.